Ancient words, ever true. Ever true. Well, as we move into our sermon today, building a people of God with unusual characters. Well, we're all kind of unusual characters. And since we're all rather unusual characters, then we tend to have unusual purposes that God uses for us. Well, Abram had a very specific purpose that God used him for. And Abram is how he is born. And for him, we will see God's covenant to bless all peoples. Now, Abraham is the second unusual character I'm teaching about from the biblical records of who God uses to build his people. I began with Noah, for he's a connection in the Bible. From the line of Seth, the third son of Adam and Eve, through the flood to Shem after the flood. And then that is the line that produces Abram, the son of Terah in Ur, which was a prosperous city in the land of the Chaldeans. Ur was a city near where Babylon would be built along the Euphrates River. This means it wasn't so far from where the Tower of Babel was. Tower of Babel, Tower of Babel, depending on how you say it, mentioned in Genesis 11. That chapter then lists the generations from Shem down through to Abram. And then begins the story of Terah, Abram's father, in order to tell Abram's story. Abram is the 10th generation from Noah through Shem in that record. And of course, we recognize in those biblical records, sometimes generation passed over one or two. So it may have been more people in that line. But there are ages and there are times given. And Abram is listed as the 10th generation from Noah through Shem. Now, since Abram's father Terah stayed in Ur near the area of the old Tower of Babel, then he also represents the original language group of the people of the Ark. Just a little piece of trivia that helps to establish the Hebrew language as the natural language of mankind. And that's something that, you know, everybody likes to have a good root to their language. And for the Hebrews, they had a saying that if you left a family alone without any language, they would come out speaking Hebrew. So it does represent the original language group starting there at the Tower of Babel. So born in Ur, Abram, who is the founder of the people now known as the Jews, was born in modern Iraq. We don't think of that very much today when we think about the Jewish people. We don't think of them having roots in Iraq, but that is the truth. And that was the land where the people had prospered well in those days. His father, Terah, is not listed as a man of faith in God. His wife, Sarai, was his niece, which is different than we're used to. It was the sister of his nephew, Lot, and the son of his uncle, Haran. Now, after Haran's death, he died in Ur before the family left there. Terah, Abram's father, moved from Ur, planning to go to Canaan, but they stopped near the headwaters of the Euphrates in a town that then later bore the name of his son, Haran. Terah brought along Abram and Sarai and his grandson Lot and his wife. It was there in Haran that Abram heard and obeyed the call of God to leave his pagan family behind and to step out into the unknown to a land God would show him. And Abram took Lot with him. Now, Abram's given name means, well, depending on how you parse it, it means father of height or exalted father. Yet his wife Sarai was barren through most of the years of their marriage. Now later, as we will read, God renames Abram to Abraham, which means father of a multitude, and similar ideas. Abraham gave no prophecy for the people of God. He wrote no book. He sang no song, and he gave no laws. But he's the most important figure in history. He is the founding father for the Jewish people. And his story is a story of God's faithfulness to a man who had faith in him. The story of Abram goes from Genesis 11:27 to Genesis 25:10. And by the way, that's a really good read that doesn't take so long. Just sit down and read the whole story, and it's well worth your time on that. Of course, that's too much to share right now, but I do want to focus on the most important part of Abram's story. As God took this man from Ur and eventually renamed him Abraham, as his wife Sarai became Sarah. With his first mention in Genesis 11, Abraham shows up clear through the Bible. He is mentioned by Jesus, he's mentioned by Paul, and our last reference to his name is in Hebrews 11 in the list of the faithful. So he spans many, many chapters and many years. Abraham is the only one whom the Bible directly says is a man that God calls his friend. In Isaiah 41:8, the very end of that verse, as he speaks of in a prophecy through Isaiah, Abraham, my friend. Now, Abram at that time was already 70 when the family left Ur. So Terah, his father, was 140, according to the genealogical record. And then when Abram was 75, I'll skip back and forth between Abram and Abraham. The tongue just doesn't know how to separate that all the time. But still dealing with Abram according to the timeline I am right now. He was 75 when he left his father Terah, and Terah lived another 65 years after that. And in the end, Abraham lived another 35 years after Terah's death. So they were long-lived still. Terah lived to 205, and Abram lived to 75, I think. I'll get to that later. And then God tells Abram to leave home. I'm using the Lexham English Bible translation this morning, for it lets us know in its translation that it is Yahweh, the one and only creator God of the universe, that leads Abram on his way to becoming the father of the faithful. And although the name of Yahweh was new to Moses 500 years later, it was clearly the name of God who spoke to Abram according to Genesis. In what Abram hears from God, there is a promise of God's plans for Abram and for his family in Genesis 12:1-3. And Yahweh said to Abram, go out from your land and from your relatives and from the house of your father to the land that I will show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and those who curse you, I will curse. All the families of the earth will be blessed in you. So Abram, who's lived in his father's household for 75 years and who is so far childless, is told to leave home and go to the new land. God promises to be his guide, but doesn't give him a roadmap. Yahweh God wants a man who will follow by faith. Then Yahweh makes his threefold promise to Abram that will become more clear as the years go on. God will make Abram into a great nation. God will bless Abram with an exalted name, and God will make Abram a blessing to others. And we'll see how that promise of God gets a little more specific in a bit. There's a promise that Abram is under God's care and blessing, so any who bless Abram will be on God's good side, and any who curse him will suffer the consequences. Then at the end of verse 3 in chapter 12, the promise that we benefit from is more clearly stated. All the families of the earth will be blessed in you. In Abram at that time, according to the long-term DNA, was the seed of the Christ, the human seed that would be translated down through. In Abram, all the peoples of the earth would be blessed. Now, that's going to need another 1,800 years or so before we find that blessing fulfilled in Jesus, which proved the faithfulness of God. Faithfulness of God that extends even to us 3,800 years later. That's kind of an amazing span of time from Abram to us. Now, those round numbers I'm using, estimates just based on lifespans listed in the Bible. It's one thing to hear God and believe what God is saying to you, but we have a clear statement that Abram acted on what God told him. He didn't just listen and hear and nod his head. He didn't just believe it was true. He trusted God to come through on his promises. And in Genesis 12:4, we read, "And Abram went out as Yahweh had told him, and Lot went with him." Now, Abram was 75 years old when he went out from Haran. Now, honestly, 75 doesn't seem nearly as old to me now as it did 30 years ago or so, when I, or even 60 years ago when I was first reading the Bible for myself. It seemed pretty old to me then. Well, now I'm coming closer to 70. 75 doesn't seem nearly so old, and I can still imagine myself in 6 years or so making a move if God calls me to do that. So, you know, I feel strong enough and well enough and everything else. Abram was 75 years when he left his father's home. And the point of the verse is that Abram trusted the word of the Lord enough to act on the word, to go to a place he did not know, for a purpose he did not know, except for the promises of God. And that's Abram's story clear through. He believed God. And that means, because of that, Abram and his nephew Lot became nomadic herdsmen. Not from the city of Ur or the city of Haran, but now they were nomads. They were wandering with their flocks. And Abram would fulfill all his days living in tents in the lands of the promise. We can almost sum up Abram's story with this statement: when Abram heard God, he believed God. And Abram left behind what was certain to venture into a future that was uncertain. He surrendered what he had with his father Terah for what God had promised. Every step away from Haran was a step into a place he'd never been, a future he did not know, based on a hope that he had heard God tell him and that he stubbornly believed. Now, it was a little like that when I moved my family from Oregon to Indiana for a seminary. I was going into a place I did not know, a land I did not know, to a people I did not know, to a place I did not know, with means of sustenance I did not know, driving into town with less than $20 left in my pocket and a family of four. But God provided along the way. And I'm still here to talk about it now. God wanted a man who would follow by faith. And when Abram believed God, he stepped away from what was certain to what was uncertain. As Abram traveled into the land of Canaan, modern Palestine, and Israel, God spoke to him again, Genesis 12:7. "And Yahweh appeared to Abram and said, 'To your offspring I will give this land.' And he built an altar there to Yahweh who had appeared to him." It's in the promised land that Abram was promised that this land would be his for his offspring. Those offspring he didn't yet have, even though he was 75 years old. It is the promised land that he built his altars on to worship and honor God. And his stone altars were the only permanent structures we have recorded that Abram built in this land. But Abram was not just interested in being a follower of God. He wanted to see how God would work out his promises. And although Sarai was barren, God promises Abram that his offspring would outnumber the stars on a clear black night that we can never know. In Genesis 15:5, where it says, "God brought him outside and said, 'Look toward the heavens and count the stars, if you're able to count them.'" No city lights around, no light pollution, just that clear black night and an amazing number of stars. And God said, "Go ahead, try and count them. Try and count them. Because if you can count them, well, you might get an idea of how many your offspring will be." Now, this was challenging news when Abram was already 75 and was childless. I'm nearly 70 and I have no grandchildren, so, you know, I can kind of relate to that story as well. But God was still at work promising, and Abram was still stubbornly believing. This promise was going to be repeated by God as Abram's offspring would be counted with the stars. They would be counted as the dust. They would be counted as the sand. In other words, more than Abram or any other person could see or fathom, that would be the offspring from this childless man. And for that reason, we read that Abram believed God. What do you do when you hear God's great promises for you? That's a question we have to deal with all the time. Are they just words on paper? Are they just realities or dreams that you've had? Have they become realities because you followed through on what you see? For some of us, you know what it's like to step out in faith and discover that God prepared a way for you to be fruitful in that place. That's what happened with Abraham. He struck out in faith, and God provided a way for what he did to be fruitful. Abram believed God, and it's listed in Genesis 15:6 very plainly, and he believed in Yahweh, and he reckoned it to him as righteousness. The very basis of righteousness is believing. The very basis of righteousness is believing that God is worthy of our trust. The basis of righteousness is that God is worthy of our obedience, and that God is setting for us a clear and a good path. Now, that is a verse that was repeated by Paul as he wrote about the history of the people of God, that righteousness came to Abram because he believed in God. He did not have a law book at this time. He was leaving a pagan family from a pagan land, pagan or heathen. Heathen is not bothering to worship much of anything. Pagan is worshiping through idols. So there's the slight difference between the two. We have no record that Abram's family had any religious practices or history. But for Abram, he heard the voice of God. And then God repeats his promises again to Abram. And this was important because time had gone on. We come to a further couple of chapters. There's lots of stuff going on in the story of Abram, and he visits Egypt because of a famine, and he tells lies about Sarah being his sister and not giving the news that she was his wife. Well, she was actually his niece. So he said, I wasn't quite lying. Well, actually, sure you were. You were a little bit worried that the king had more power over you than God at that point. So some little failures that happen in Abram's life are not reason to discount him from the purposes of God. But God had to remind him what was going on. In Genesis 17:1-2, we read that when Abram was 99 years old, Yahweh appeared to Abram, and he said to him, I am El Shaddai. Walk before me and be blameless, so that I may make my covenant between me and you and may multiply you exceedingly. Well, 99, remember he was 75 when he left his father's home. And so now it's 24 years later. He's 99 years old. He's still childless. And God says, walk before me so I can make my covenant with you and may multiply you exceedingly. Now, I don't know about you, but by that time I would feel a little like maybe God had the wrong person. Maybe God had the wrong family in mind. It doesn't seem like this is what's going to happen or how it's going to happen or anything else. But God was faithful, and he gave these promises again to Abram. And in fact, he gives something new to Abram. This is where he changes Abram's name to Abraham in Genesis chapter 17. And that's comes up in verses 3-5. Then Abram fell upon his face, and God spoke with him, saying, as for me, Behold, my covenant shall be with you, and you shall be the father of a multitude of nations. Your name shall no longer be called Abram, but your name shall be called Abraham, for I will make you the father of a multitude of nations. So instead of a name just meaning great father, he gets the name meaning the father of many, 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 which is basically what Abraham means. And this was a challenging word, because as he spoke of this name change, he also said that the fruitfulness would come through. 99 years old, and God is still saying in 17:6-7, I will make you exceedingly fruitful. I will make you a nation, and kings shall go out from you, and I will establish my covenant between me and you and between your offspring after you throughout their generations as an everlasting covenant to be as God for you and to your offspring after you. Now, it's at this point where the covenant of circumcision is given as a sign in the flesh for the Jews to remember this covenant with God. Now, Abram's name was changed to Abraham, but God had more to say, because there was more going on. In Genesis 17, we also find out that God changes Sarai's name to Sarah. Sarah is a name that means princess. Now, Sarai can also mean princess, so there's not necessarily a big name change, but the form of the name has been changed. Instead of a name that's attached to a place, it's now a name that's attached to God. The ending A-H on the end of most Hebrew names is an aspiration to the A-H in Yahweh. And so Sarah is the princess by the stamp of God for Abraham as wife. And that comes in Genesis 17, or verses 15 and 16. And God said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, for Sarah shall be her name, and I will bless her. Moreover, I give to you from her a son, and I will bless her, and she shall give rise to nations. Kings of people shall come from her. Now, by the way, this is already after Ishmael had been born by the human act of Abram trying to make the promise work on Sarah's idea, but that was not God's plan and God's purpose. Although there were promises here that came, it was not up to Abraham to make them happen. It was up to God to make them happen. And that's why faith needs patience. I don't know about you, but that's sure true in my life. Faith needs patience, because if I step out with faith, but I'm way ahead of what God wants to do, then I'm going to fall on my nose, and I'm not going to know what's what, and I might leave the promise or the plans behind. But if I act with patience and have God leading me, not dragging me, but leading me, then I have the opportunity to be where he wants me to be when it's right for God to do what he wants to do. Now, this whole story of Abram being 99 years old and Sarah being past the childbearing age was just a little more than Abraham could take right now. He laughed at the very idea. In Genesis 17:17-18, then Abraham fell on his face, and he laughed and said to himself, shall a child be born to a man who's 100 years old? Shall Sarah, who's 90 years old, bear a child? It was just outrageous to him. And Abram said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. Well, God said that Ishmael would be blessed, but it was through Sarah's son that God would fulfill his promises. Now, we've often talked about Sarah being the one who laughed at the whole idea of bearing a child in her old age. Isaac the name given to their child, means laughter. But actually, Abraham in chapter 17 was the first one to laugh in 17:17, and then Sarah laughs just a bit later. God's promises, though, are going to come through. You have to have enough patience to wait for God to work things out the way that God wants them to happen. If we get ahead of him, then we might be building a bridge to nowhere. We get started and we don't have an end result. And that leaves a monument to our impatience instead of a heritage that comes from our patience. But God affirms Sarah and the mother, as the mother of the people, that God will build. In Genesis 17:19, and God said, "No, but Sarah, your wife, shall bear a son for you, and you shall call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant to his offspring after him." And so through Sarah shall come that child. But of course, now Sarah's hearing this, and she's getting a little taken by the idea. It's a little hard to swallow when you're old, when you start to feel unable, when you start to feel like it's hard enough getting up out of the chair. You really don't want to be jumping up chasing a baby when you're 90 years old. But, well, actually, even though I can imagine myself relocating, I can't imagine myself fathering my first child in another 30 years. But, nor could Sarah. And in Genesis 18:10, it says that God had said, "I will certainly return to you in the spring, and look, Sarah, your wife, will have a son." Now Sarah was listening at the doorway of the tent, and which was behind him, and now it became Sarah's turn to laugh at this absolutely outrageous idea. Now, Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in age. The way of women had ceased to be for Sarah. So Sarah laughed to herself, saying, "After I'm worn out and my husband is old, shall this pleasure be to me?" Well, God said, Abraham, what's that Sarah's laughing about? Well, it says specifically in the scripture, Yahweh said to Abraham, "What is this that Sarah laughed, saying, Is it indeed true that I will bear a child now that I've grown old?" Well, then God puts it on himself to take care of the promise, as he says, "Is anything too difficult for Yahweh?" We need to know that. Is anything too difficult to Yahweh? "And at the appointed time, I will return to you in the spring, and Sarah shall have a son." We need patience for faith to work its way out. We need patience for the promises of God to be fulfilled in God's timing. But we need faith that doesn't fail so that we're ready for those promises to take hold. Is anything too difficult for Yahweh? Well, God shares a vision for his people with Abraham as he comes to the point where the promise will be fulfilled. He shares this vision in Genesis 18:18-19. He says, "And Abraham will surely become a great and strong nation." Yes, we've heard that before. You notice God keeps saying the promise over and over because Abraham has to hear it over and over. "He'll surely become a great and strong nation. All the nations of the earth will be blessed on account of him. For I have chosen him that he will command his children and his household after him, that they will keep the way of Yahweh to do righteousness and justice, so that Yahweh may bring upon Abraham that which he said to him." Okay, the promise, he'll become a great nation. All the nations of the earth will be blessed on account of him. We still are benefiting from that. And verse 19, "I have chosen him to keep the way of Yahweh." Abraham became then the father of the faithful as he believed God, as he was chosen, as God was faithful to his promises, and he delivered on his promise to Abraham and Sarah. And we read that as we get to chapter 21. Because this is a simple part of the story, but we know it well. In Genesis 21, 1 and 2, Yahweh visited Sarah as he had said. Yahweh did to Sarah as he had promised. God is faithful. And she conceived. God is faithful. Sarah bore to Abraham a son in his old age at the appointed time that God had told him, at God's appointed time. And this promise was delivered upon. And then Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac, which means laughter. And Abraham circumcised Isaac and his son when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Well, that means what's happened in their old age? It means that laughter has come to Abraham's house. Laughter's come to his house. Isaac, the name laughter. Sarah, happy. Abraham, seeing God's working through this. Now, he hadn't forgotten Ishmael, but this was God fulfilling his promise. Abraham was 100 years old when Isaac, his son, was born to him. And Sarah said, God has made laughter for me. All who hear will laugh for me. Now, he has a son at 100 years old. We learn that then Abraham hears God say, take your son, your only son Isaac, take him and sacrifice him on a mountain where I will show you. We have a lot of places in the Bible where people are used as types of Christ to show the one who sacrifices themselves or who gives themselves or who fulfills God's purposes through themselves. Abraham is the only one that becomes a type, an image of God the Father, taking his own son toward sacrifice. But then God provides the sacrifice. That's part of the story we know. I'm not really reading that. I'm just saying through that. And at the end of that time, God provided the sacrifice. And here's what is said as Abraham's faith comes through this deep, deep trial. Faith that is not tried might not be true faith. Abraham's faith was certainly tried in this invitation or this order to sacrifice his son Isaac. But he came through the trial, and in Genesis 22:15-17, and the angel of Yahweh called to Abraham a second time from heaven, and he said, I swear by myself, declares Yahweh, that because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only child, that I will certainly bless you and greatly multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven and as the sand that is by the shore of the sea, and your offspring will take possession of the gate of his enemies, because you have come through. Well, the promise of faith is also for us. The promises that Abraham received bless us. This reality that all the nations of the earth will be blessed through your offspring, we realize in Jesus Christ. Because of Abraham, we are. Because of Abraham, the Jews brought forth the Messiah. Because of Abraham, the Messiah has become our Savior. The promise of faith is for us. And that promise was repeated again in Genesis 22:18. All the nations of the earth will be blessed through your offspring because you have listened through my voice. Now, that's the story of Abraham, and the purposes of that story are to remind us of our blessing, but also to tell us those things of faith. Faith takes believing God. It takes acting on God. But it may take a lot of patience so that we don't get ahead of God. But it continually takes trust so that we might do what God says. We are told at the very end that Sarah and Abraham fulfill their years, the end of the story. Genesis 23:1-2. Sarah lived 127 years. So she saw her son grow up. These were the years of the life of Sarah, and Sarah died in Kiriath Arba, that is Hebron, in the land of Canaan, and Abram went to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her. And then in Genesis 25, 1-2, now Abraham again took a wife, and her name was Keturah, and she bore to him Zimram, Jokshan, Medan, Midian, Ishbak, and Shua. So Abraham had more sons, part of the legacy of his generations. And Genesis 25, 7-8 begins to close up this story. Now these are the days of the years of the life of Abraham, 175 years. And Abraham passed away and died in good old age, old and full of years. And he was gathered to his people. This was a promise to Abram in Genesis 15. And as for you, you shall go to your ancestors in peace. You shall be buried in a good old age. Well, we have the final piece. Isaac and Ishmael, his sons, together buried him in the cave of Machpelah in the field of Ephron, son of Zohar the Hittite, that was east of Mamre. And that was next to his wife, Sarah. Abraham's faithfulness is what put him as the ancestor of all who follow in faith. His faithfulness allowed God to use him, this unusual person who trusted in an unseen God and went into an unknown place because of the promises of God. That blessing that comes to all of us comes through faith. How might your life be a blessing to others? Because you faithfully believe God, because you faithfully step out, because you become something that found something new, that establishes something new. You never know how God might use your faithfulness. Let's pray together. Thank you, Father, for this story of Abraham, the father of the faithful, and the ancestor of our Jesus. Lord, thank you that we have Jesus, who is not just a man, but man and God, our Savior for all. But Lord, thank you for the faithful that created this people, that you created your people through, as you used each one step by step along the way. God, help us to live out your faithfulness. In Jesus' name, amen.